The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As we reported earlier, and you will have heard on the news, over 100 aid agencies have warned that mass starvation is spreading in Gaza and that their colleagues and those they serve are wasting away. And staff from the news agency AFP, too, are warning of the dire conditions, issuing a humanitarian alert on behalf of its own journalists for the first time in its 80-year history. They say that some of their freelance journalists in the enclave no longer have the strength to work. They say, "We refuse to see them die." All of this comes as the Israeli military says it's deepening its operations in Gaza, where almost 90% of the territory is under evacuation orders, leaving the population of 2.1 million people squeezed into an area of approximately 46 square kilometres of land, an area that would be less in size than Galway City and its suburbs. Joining us now is Juliet Tuma, Director of Communications with UNRWA. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's very hard to overstate what's going on in Gaza. It is appalling. It's a humanitarian tragedy, and it's one, it would appear, of Israel's making.
Oh, it's totally man-made. It's a horror show. People are being starved. Our own colleagues at UNRWA are fainting on duty while they're on duty because they are starving and they're exhausted.
Now, what do you say to the Israelis' claim that there's tons and tons and tons of aid waiting to go into Gaza and some of it already inside Gaza, waiting for the aid agencies to pick it up? What do you say to that contention?
What I do know is that UNRWA has been banned from getting its trucks even close to the borders of Gaza. You see, Israeli authorities have banned us from getting anything into Gaza for 4.5 months. We have 6,000 trucks that are in Jordan and in Egypt, and we don't have the green light to get them even close to the borders.
Now, the humanitarian aid that Israel set up along with the Americans, this so-called Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, it has been described as a sadistic death trap where people are lured to the prospect of food and water only to be fired upon by the Israelis.
Yes, well, exactly. According to the United Nations Human Rights Office, at least 1,000 people were killed, starving people who were going to get whatever little food that this so-called foundation was bringing in. And all of this is unnecessary and preventable. We got to go back to how we used to do it during the ceasefire under the United Nations, including UNRWA, the largest humanitarian organization. We never had any of these incidents. We had 400 distribution points spread across the Gaza Strip, and we gave not only food, we also gave medicines, we gave hygiene supplies, including basic things like diapers and sanitary pads for girls and women.
Now, the way this can be stopped. I mean, we know that 28 countries, I think it was, wrote a letter calling on Israel to agree a ceasefire and get the aid going again. And today we've got over 100 aid agencies talking about the spreading famine in Gaza. But Israel does not appear to want to listen.
Well, it should at some point. There has to be a ceasefire. It's also a win-win because with the ceasefire deal, there will be a release of the hostages. And then with that is a flow of humanitarian supplies under the management of the UN. Otherwise, we're going to have famine in Gaza and more babies and more human beings, including men and women will die because of hunger and starvation at the world's watch. So it's time for action. It's time for a deal. It's time for a ceasefire. It's long overdue.
Is not the most important player on all of this the United States of America? Because if Trump was to intervene with Netanyahu, and he does seem as if the two, it does seem the two of them are cordial towards each other, but many feel that Trump is being played by Netanyahu. If Trump was to intervene with Netanyahu, all of this could change overnight.
This is precisely why we're really hopeful that there will be a ceasefire because of the talks in Qatar this week. And we really hope that no more time is wasted and that a deal is reached. The clock is ticking fast. More babies will die. More people will die of starvation. People are already dying of bombardment. So it's time for this horror show to come to an end.
Julia, can you give us a picture of what is still functioning right across Gaza in terms of medical aid, hospitals, field hospitals or regular hospitals, water supplies, power, fuel?
Very little, very little. Gaza has become unlivable. For us at UNRWA, we have only a handful of our clinics still open. We have medical points that are mobile medical points. But to manage those, we need fuel for our little cars to move around, which we've had to ration. So there's probably more people dying silently without us knowing about them due to lack of medical care or basic medical supplies.
What do you make of the proposal to move the bulk of the population to this so-called humanitarian city they say they're going to construct near Rafah? It's been described even within Israel as a concentration camp. What do you say?
Yes, we agree with that description. UNRWA head has described it as such. And we categorically refuse any forced displacement of the population anywhere in Gaza. However, there's been massive forced displacement and ongoing displacement. The population right now is crammed in just over 10% of the size of Gaza. People have been treated like pinballs over the past 650 days.
Now, one of the theories, it would appear, being embraced by the Israelis and therefore by the Americans, and we know about Donald Trump's ambitions to take over Gaza and build a resort there. He said he's not going to buy it because it's worthless now, such is the extent of the destruction. We know that parents will do anything to help their children survive all of this. The idea that people will just leave Gaza simply because it's not livable anymore, and this seems to be the project of the Israelis, to render the destruction so great that there is no livability available to the Palestinians.
Look, we are on the verge of a second Nakba or a catastrophe, a repeat of what happened to the Palestinian people in 1948. The vast majority of people in Gaza are anyway refugees who were kicked out of their homeland in 1948. And there is intergenerational trauma among the Gazans. And so imagine what might happen if they have to go through this once again. Many, many people are refusing to leave. It's very, very difficult to leave one's homeland, and especially if it happened to you or to your ancestors before.
What would you say to those people who are maybe pro-Israel or on the fence about all of this, citing October 7th and so on? Because there is a possibility that so many people will end up on the wrong side of history. They will look back and say, why did we not do something?
Well, everyone should do something to put an end to this horror show. We are going to lose our humanity if we don't. The attack on the 7th of October was abhorrent. We condemn it time and time again. Nothing justifies, however, what's happening to the people of Gaza and these atrocities that are taking place. We've got to save our humanity and we've got to do it fast.
Now, some of the text coming in, it's sickening that the elected leaders of countries of the world have not simply stopped this happening. Why are they not bombing Israel? Well, even if they attempted to, pile military aggression on Israel, Israel has all the defensive systems it needs. Its casualties on foot of Iranian attempts to disrupt Israel have been relatively light, I suppose. The ceasefire is pointless unless the aggressor is punished to the point that it will never happen again. Israel will not stop until every Palestinian is wiped off the face of the earth by whatever means necessary. They've wanted this for many years, and Hamas's attack on October the 7th was just the excuse they needed. Trump has given Netanyahu the freedom and the guns and the bombs to do what he wants. After all, Trump and Netanyahu are going to turn Gaza into a Riviera, and the world watches on. The world has very sick leaders. If Hamas surrendered and released the hostages that remained, this war would end. But Hamas and the UN don't really care about the Palestinians, which is a fairly fatuous kind of statement. But the question of Hamas giving up the hostages, which is something you said, Juliet, that a ceasefire would bring that about, that would leave the way open, I suppose, for Israel to go along with that until they get the hostages and the bodies back. And then, having achieved that, they resume their war.
That I don't know. I do know, however, that violence is not the answer. And more violence will breed more violence. And we're going to continue to be stuck in this vicious cycle. Look, the people, the Palestinians and the Israelis have been in this war for decades on end. And I think it's time for courageous decisions and action to put an end to this in a peaceful, diplomatic way as soon as possible.
Julia Choma, Director of Communications for UNRWA, thank you very much for...
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.